I mean, anymore, anybody just has this, but... Well, you're right. I bought this before Y2K. This is a long wave, short wave, multimodal radio. Anybody know what short wave is? They've heard of that? You know, it's pretty fascinating because for a while I got into short wave, and this has sidebands, long wave, short wave, FM, AM. You know what's unique about all of those? All of those frequencies and all those bands. They're all different, but guess what? The air is filled with all of them right now, right? So what this does, it says, depending on what's being broadcast, which wavelength, which frequency, you have the ability to dial in and listen. But what was really intriguing to me, because there is so much out there, is that I actually have a book. It's called The Complete Shortwave Listener's Handbook. And I needed a whole book, really, for it to tell me how to receive certain signals, certain stations, who broadcasts what. Remember back in the Cold War where you'd hear about Radio Free Europe, Armed Forces Network? There were lots of things going on. Well, most of those were done by shortwave. Because the problem with AM stations, amplitude modulation, is that most AM stations can't broadcast very far by the nature of the wave. So when you're driving cross country and you're tuned into a station, I love listening to WJR out of Detroit, Radio 760. But the further away you get from Detroit, the weaker and weaker the signal gets, and they broadcast at 50,000 watts. Great Voice of the Great Lakes, they call it. There was WGN out of Chicago. There was KOMA out of Oklahoma City. There's a whole bunch of them that at night they could really boost their signal, and if you were lucky, you could hear them a couple of states away. FM stations have even shorter ability to transmit, and so you can go between cities. You can't get some of the FM stations between Lansing and Howell even. So especially if you go to Detroit, so they can share the same wavelength, but they're multiple stations. Well, when you get into shortwave and longwave, these can be broadcast and they're skipped around the world. Sunspot activity affects them. Atmospheric conditions affect them. Most shortwave broadcasts at night, they just seem to travel farther. So you can listen to Radio Philippines, Australia, New Zealand. Many of them are government-sponsored. There was a time, I don't know how many countries, maybe Myanmar and North Korea and others, where it was a crime to listen to shortwave from another country. And people would be arrested and put in jail for listening to what's going on out in the world. But the reality is, we have here a receiver, and its total purpose is to listen to a signal being broadcast, and you can dial it in. You can get different wavelengths. There's 49-meter band, there's 5-meter band, 1-meter band. There's all these different wavelengths, and then you have all these frequencies. And so it takes, really, if you want to become an expert, a book to know how to dial into a frequency and a wavelength and a message that you want. Well, guess what? When we were born dialed into a wavelength. Broadcasts that are being made by the enemy. If you were to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 2, I'll just read it. Sorry, I've got too many. Come on. Where did my... There we go. In Ephesians 2:2, and this is from the New Revised Standard Version. Actually, in verse 1, it says, "You were dead through trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world." So until Christ came around, we were dead through trespasses and sins in which we live, following the course of this world. It's the nature of this world. It's just the way things are in this world, trespasses and sins, because it's following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. And so if you were to read the King James, I believe it says the prince of the power of the air. But there is a ruler of the world around us. There is a ruler that broadcasts at a human frequency. There is a ruler that is broadcasting at our wavelength. And that is what leads us, in one respect, it says, to become dead through our trespasses and sins, because it's following the course of the world. If you turn to Matthew chapter 11, we're going to go through a bunch of verses here, actually just several quickly. I don't expect this to be a really long message. But in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, we read this. And I'm jumping into some thoughts, okay? So you'd have to go see what the Messiah is talking about. But in verse 15 of Matthew 11, it says, "Let anyone with ears listen." Pay attention to what he's saying. Listen to what he's got to say. It's with our ears. In this case, this Grundig, still good after all these years. I was tuned into, I think it was frequency 7460 in the 16 meter band today, and somebody was giving a Bible discussion, and yet the signal was so weak, there was so much static, I had a really, really hard time understanding. So I had to really, really focus to hear what he was saying through all the static. I don't know about you, but to me that's a metaphor at times of how I feel when I want to hear God speak to me. It's really hard to hear that voice through all the static, because the signal to me at times seems very weak. And it's like, am I dialed in properly? Especially with AM radios they used to have. I think they still do on everybody, because not many of us listen to. But you have to dial it in. 760, 765, nope, can't hear it. 755, nope, you got to dial right into the exact frequency to get WJR. FM, I have a clock radio that wakes us up in the morning, and every now and then it seems like it wanders a little bit, and I have to adjust it to get a clear signal. So in Matthew 11:15, we're told, "Let anyone who has ears listen." In Matthew 13:9, we read this. It says, "Let anyone with ears listen." In Matthew 13:43, it says, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." In Mark chapter 4:9, and 4:23, and Luke 8:8, and Luke 14:35. Guess what it says? Anyone with ears, they should listen. Now, who do you think that, Miles, I'm going to need your help here in a second. Who do you think the Messiah is talking about? Listen to who? Listen to the prince of the power of the air? Listen to his words? Listen to John the Baptist? He's telling us, look, you need to be paying attention to listen. There's a song that I'm going to ask Miles to play. I don't know that. Did you find anything, Miles, that had lyrics with it? Okay. It's by a Christian song writer and singer that I like a lot, and I've got several songs that I think will inspire some messages over the next while. So anytime you're ready, Miles, it's a song called Shepherd by Todd Agnew. And I hope you can hear and see the words possibly. Thanks, Miles. I was hearing a lot of bass, but when I listened to it in my earbuds and other stuff, but it says a lot. And if you're like me, who doesn't want to hear the shepherd's voice? So much of what we do, we want to do the will of God. And if you're like me, there are times when I would really want, maybe it would scare me too often, but I would love to hear, Jeff, this is Yeshua. Let me tell you what I want you to do. And I think if you had that happen to you and it was clear because you knew the broadcaster and you were tuned into that frequency and you heard the voice clearly, that I don't think any one of us would say, no, I'm not doing that. Now, that's what we would think. And I can go back to Jonah. God said, Jonah, let me tell you what you're going to do. You know what Jonah said? Not me. I'm running. Read the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was appointed to do all these things, and he's saying, no, Lord, I don't want to do this. Why me? And at one time, the trials on Jeremiah were so bad that God told him, he said, Jeremiah, if you can't walk with a footman, how are you going to run with a horseman? Meaning, if you think this is bad, wait until it's going to get. So the challenge, I think, that we have is, what do we really want out of God, but how do we hear his voice? Because if you go to Ezekiel chapter 34, you know, the song that we just listened to was called Shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, I had it and I lost it here. This whole chapter is about how Israel is God's flock. And in verse 11, I'm going to read several verses of Ezekiel 34. For thus says the eternal God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among the scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and dark and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the eternal God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. A little later on, he says, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Eternal, will be their God, and my servant David shall be a prince among them. I, the Eternal, have spoken. And there is a promise that he will be our shepherd, and he will gather his flock, and he will take care of them, and he will feed them, and he will heal them, and he will nourish them. Well, you know, when you come to the New Testament, and you go to John 10, we read this, starting in John 10, verse 1. This is the Messiah speaking. He says, very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. Now, a sheepfold was an area where a shepherd would take his sheep. It was walled in so that the only way you could get to it, whether it was rocks, whether it was brambles or briars, whatever, there was a gate. And it was so difficult to get in any other way than the gate because it was meant to protect the sheep. So if you came in by any other way than the gate, it meant you were in there to harm and to steal and do something to the sheep. And sometimes the shepherd would actually sleep in the sheepfold because it was dangerous around there to protect the sheep. So here's the Messiah saying, very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens a gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them. When he has brought them all out on his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then we go down to verse 11, paralleling what was said in Ezekiel 34. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And so I ask you, do we hear the voice of the shepherd? And I would propose to you that just in these verses, that it's very, very important for us to hear, to listen, to understand to that voice. And I would propose to you that there is a combination of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that need to be applied to be able to dial in and know the will and the voice of God. You know, I have this book that tells you all about how to understand the frequencies that are being broadcast and who's broadcasting on what frequency and what their background is and how to do it so that you can accurately dial in, whether day or night, to the frequency that is broadcasting what you want to hear. We were born dialed into a frequency of the prince of the power of the air. And that is the course of this world. We don't have to work at it. We don't have to do, whether right now there are millions of phone calls going on, there's shortwave, longwave, FM, AM, TV signals. The air is filled with those, just like the prince of the power of the air is broadcasting right now, physical, carnal, human desires that bring with it the death penalty, because that's the nature that we were born into in this world. You know, when you go back to Revelation, there's a lot written to seven churches. And what's always intrigued me as I read these, that you can go back to now how the Hebrew rabbis talk about, there's the Peshat, the Remez, the Drosh, the Sod. There's literal to mystical to deeper meanings of how you can take verses. And we can argue, and books are written and all these things about what each church means. Is it an era? Is it a time period? Is it a state of mind? Are they past, present, future? But these are all to the church of God. And when we read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says in verse 7 of Revelation 2, let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So what's critical is that there is a Spirit involved that is speaking, and that we must be tuned in to that Spirit, because the Messiah, these are the revelation of Jesus Christ, not of John, these are the revelation. He is speaking to seven churches. And in every single instance, the Messiah says, let anyone who has an ear to listen, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He's speaking to us through the Spirit, but I would propose to you that we have to be dialed in. Because if you're like me, I listen to that song, Shepherd, your sheep are weary, cold and tired, and all these things. We just want to hear your voice. Show us the way. Here he's saying, look, if you're in the church, if you're called out, listen, if you have an ear to listen, to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So we can read that same wording in Revelation 2, verse 7. In verse 11, it says, let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. It's in verse 17, If you want to look, it says, let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Not only is it found there in 17, but in verse 29, in chapter 3, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 13, chapter 3, verse 22. They're all to the seven churches. But what I think is specifically important in this day and age is Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And I go back to again what this is. It's a receiver. They have a special thing in here called SWL, shortwave listeners, because that's all you can do. You can't broadcast on these. You can't transmit. You can only listen. Somebody else is broadcasting, but you can only, if you want to broadcast, you need to be ham radio operator. You need a special license. You need special equipment. You need power. You need all sorts of things to broadcast. But these are so we can only listen. And that's how we've been created, to listen. So when I go to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, and it says, these are the words of the Messiah. It says, listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. We've been given the choice. The Messiah is there. He says, I want to come in, but I'm not going to break and enter. I'm not going to force my way in. But he's saying, listen, I'm out there knocking. Just open the door and listen to my voice and I will come in and be with you. So I would ask you, if it's said specifically 8 times in these 7 churches, how do you get there? How do you dial in so you can listen to his voice? Not a trick question, Cindy. You just read a book. Well, I'm glad that there's a book on that, because I'm going to say, let's see what this book says right here. Yeah. All right. That might be a good book for everybody to read. Because what I would propose to you, that if you are like me, and we live in a world that, let's face it. When I do lots of meetings at work, people say, where's your PowerPoint? Where's your video? Where's your this? Where's your that? Because they don't want to read anything. They just want to be shown a picture or a video or a song or whatever. People don't want to read it. I've had some of my people say, print is dead. Print is dead. Why bother? So what I would propose to you is that just like I had a book right here to teach me how to dial into what I wanted to hear, and there are steps to it, understanding to it, knowledge to it, so I can understand what I want, that we have a book right here that's been given to us that says, if you want to dial into my wavelength, if you want to hear my voice, if you want it to come in clear and strong, I have an instruction book. So that when you understand this, then my Spirit, when it speaks to you, you will hear and be able to listen and to understand and make sure that what you think is being told you is in accordance to what this book says. And I am concerned because every time I either go somewhere or have an opportunity to talk to somebody from another area or region, I say, what's the spiritual health of your church? And we talk about it. And I would say 9 times out of 10, they would say, we're concerned. that people don't truly study or understand this book. Because there are many things being broadcast out there. And I would propose to you, when you go back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, that even when you think you're doing well, and you think that there are proofs of that, that the Messiah himself said, "Did they not say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do many mighty works? Didn't we do all these things?'" And you know what he says? "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so we have to be careful that what we're doing, what we're hearing, what we're following, and what our motivation is in accordance with the Word of God. This is the written Word, which is intended to lead us to the living Word. This is the voice of God that he spent a couple of thousand years putting together as an instruction manual on how to dial in to the Holy Spirit. I would propose to you that even though he says in John 14 that I will send you a comforter and the comforter will guide you and teach you and lead you, that unless it's in accordance with this written word, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble if you don't combine yielding and listening to the Holy Spirit, because it goes back to Revelation 2 and 3. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches, if you have an ear to hear. If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to get close to the end here because it's just a concern for me that I, like you, live and work in an age where people think print is dead, and to study your Bible and read your Bible, you know, there's a lot of footnotes in mine, but there's a couple thousand pages here. I used to think War and Peace was a really long, that was just a little over 1,000, or Pillars of the Earth by Ken Follett, 1,100 pages. Who wants to read a book that long? That was for entertainment. And here, this is for instruction. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to Timothy in the first 9 verses that the last days are characterized by sinfulness. If you start out, in the last days, distressing times will come. And then it talks about how people in the world are, people who are following the course of this world, people who are listening to the broadcast of the prince of the power of the air. And yet when we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says to Timothy, a young man, grew up in the faith. If you go look at verse 1 of 2 Timothy, or chapter 1, verse 5, that it was his mother and grandmother that raised him in the faith. But Paul's charge to Timothy is this: "Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and suffering, the things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I have endured. Yet the Eternal rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, will be tried, will be tested, will be tempted." And so as we understand Scripture, we start understanding the things that Christ promises us, just like Paul experienced, just like he experienced. Those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. "But wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it." in verse 15, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Timothy knew from childhood the sacred scriptures. And I would propose to you that the only scriptures he knew were the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. And yet he knew them, and those alone were able to instruct him for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We have the benefit of having the whole New Testament to add to that. And here's what he says. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. The purpose of Scripture isn't to have knowledge. It's to be able to go and do the good works that God has set before us. I would propose to you that if we believe that the Bible is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that goes a long way to understanding what God's will is in our life. And if we are focused on this, and we understand that, the point of all this written word, all this scripture that is inspired by God, is so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Because when we say, "What do you want me to do, God?" Sounds like he's saying, "Well, I got it all set up so that you can be prepared, be proficient, equipped to do the things that I've called you to do." And continue on in chapter 4, it says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience and teaching. For the time is coming," and now I'm saying this, and I think that time is here, "for the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths." I am amazed at how many things I hear about that are being taught out there that people are believing and following. And for many of them, they're a recycle of the heresies and the teachings that Paul wrote about to the different churches, to those who, whether it's the Gnostics, there are so many things in Scripture that it's coming around again. Harold. I'm speaking of the churches of God because I do not believe that this word was written to the world. But you're validating my point, Harold, that we can say, but they keep the Sabbath. Paul is writing to those who knew the Scriptures, who were faithful to them, like Timothy from a young man, and he's saying, yet when these churches, Paul, 3 evangelistic journeys, how many churches did he send up? And all of the things that were going on, they were still eyewitnesses of the Messiah. And yet they're seeing how, for the time is coming, and I'm saying, and I think the time is now, when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. And as for you, speaking to Timothy, he says, "Be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and carry out your ministry fully." There is a responsibility giving to those who teach to teach the Word of God. But there's a responsibility to each and every one of us to study, to show yourself a workman approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And as much as I enjoy books, Cindy, so this is not to say don't read books. I like to read other books. People can refer you to Scripture and they can explain it. But when it boils down to what is our focus supposed to be, it is supposed to be the written word of God, so that when the Holy Spirit does want to speak to us, does want to teach us, does want to guide us, we will have a context for that prompting, for that leading, for that teaching. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, if it is from Christ, will not say, I didn't mean what I wrote, I didn't mean what I inspired, I didn't mean what I said, because you can do this, because society says you don't have to do that anymore. False teachers trying to get a following. There are wolves out there. We have an enemy. He's the prince of he's the thief who comes to kill and steal and destroy. We have an enemy. He's the adversary. He's all these things, and if we do not know the Word of God, I would challenge you that you cannot hear the voice of God, because by nature we are tuned in to a certain broadcast. By nature, we are born into a world we can receive all that. The world that we need to be part of, because we have been saved by Jesus Christ, because we have been given the Holy Spirit, is that we need to be able to dial in to that voice, to be able to dial in to that wavelength, to that frequency, so that when we hear something, it's not faint and staticky and you can barely hear it. And what did he say? It was, to me, I wish you could hear it, because it was somebody trying to teach from the Word of God. Boy, it was really difficult for me to hear it through all the static. And that's how I feel my spiritual life is right now. And when I really look at it, yes, there's the fundamental things, prayer, fasting, meditation. But I'm convinced I need to do more Bible study, not for knowledge's sake, so that I would be equipped to be proficient to do the good works that God has called us to do. And I believe that when we understand the Word of God better, the receiving part of the Holy Spirit will be stronger and finer tuned and more receptive, so that we will be able to hear the voice of the shepherd. It's a promise to us. My sheep will hear my voice, because he will speak to us, but sometimes we're not listening. Sometimes we're focused on a different signal and a different wavelength. And we are told, if you believe we are one of those seven churches in Revelation, or the one where Christ says, listen, I'm standing at the door knocking, you just got to hear my voice and let me come in and then we'll be together. And we can get distracted by all the things of the world. And that's a different broadcast. The busyness of our life. Sometimes our health problems. Sometimes our children's problems, sometimes our money problems, sometimes our job problems, sometimes our whatever problems, or our focus. I want a newer this or a bigger that and more of that. And it's all out there, and we're tuned to receive that unless we make a priority of putting God first. And then I think it's going to be an incredible experience to hear the Word of God, to know the Word of God, to know with confidence you're being led in the direction that God wants us to go. You know, I'm going to conclude with something that you might say, how does this relate to? But turn to Romans chapter 12. Should be a memory scripture. I appeal to you, we read in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, your spiritual responsibility, your job, as it were. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And here's why we need to be doing that, so that you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I would propose to you that part of our job of transforming and renewing our minds is to know the Word of God. Every day, putting this in our mind rather than, and I'm speaking to me. You know, Sharon and I have talked about, point at me, spiritual lethargy. It's like sometimes I feel like I'm going through the motions, that I'm just, where's the fire? Where's the spark? Where's the... But guess what I read in Laodicea? I'm not saying, but if the shoe fits, you got it all. You think you have it all. And God says, you're not hot. You're not cold. You're just thinking you got it all together. And you know what he says? And if you don't change, I'm going to puke you out of my mouth. The word literally is vomit you out of my mouth. And it's like, that's a scary place to be. Because he says, I wish you were cold, I know what to do, or I wish you were hot, because then I know where you're at. But just going through the motions as a believer is not good enough for the Messiah. And so maybe you're being painted with my brush, but I'm telling you where my head is at, that I'm concerned, that I'm going through the motions. I want to hear the shepherd's voice. That song really resonates with me because I want to be led and guided. Miles. I would love to finish with that song because it's powerful when I look at my life and how I pursue things, and I think that my wants are needs. I pursue my wants. He provides our needs. And so, if we can, I'd like you to take into context this, that this written word is designed to lead us to the living word so that we can hear the voice of the one who says, let me tell you what I want you to do. And we have a whole book designed to guide us and direct us so that when we are hearing that voice, we know it's in accordance with what his instruction manual says, so that we do not get to be part of Matthew 7 where he said, yeah, you can say you did all these things, but I don't know who you are. And not only that, it's not like, well, welcome anyway, it's you're gone. Depart from me, leave me, I never knew you. So I would propose to you, what voice were they listening to? What spirit were they following? What path were they going down where the Messiah says, I don't care what you did, you're gone, because it wasn't me. You were listening to the wrong voice. Our voice to listen to is the Holy Spirit that he promised to give us. I would propose to you in conclusion that we will hear his voice when we understand fully that we are skilled in the Word of God, so that when we hear that, we can know that it's in tune with the Word of God, so we can hear the voice of the shepherd, and he will guide us, and we will know his will, and we can go forward, and we will be transformed daily to look more and more and more like him. So Miles, if you wouldn't mind, would you play that song again? And hopefully with a bad connection, with a better connection, we can hear it.
old and tired, battered and bruised and torn. And shepherd, your sheep are hungry. We got what we wanted, but we still need something more. We tried to be king, but we don't want to anymore.